String 33. Isodidact. Greater Arc. Omega Halo. The sheer power mounted by the Flood is staggering. Well over a million Flood-infected ships have taken up attack positions about the Greater Arc. Their arrangement is familiar enough. The peculiar gapped spiral sweep favored by my original. Each segment capable of wheeling in three dimensions in response to attack from any direction. That tactic has been adapted by the Flood's new commander, Mendicant Bias. Mendicant Bias was deactivated and disassembled after the destruction of the capital system, to the extent that any contender-class Metarch can ever be eliminated from the systems it once controlled. Its parts were spread throughout the Ecumene for later study. But many of these regions where it was stored have been overwhelmed by the Flood, and the Metarch's fragments were apparently recovered, restored, reassembled, and reactivated by Gravemind. The Flood's forces are marshaled by a twisted machine, the first victim of the Logic Plague, and the creation in part of the Ur-Didact. Father to son, I tell myself. Against the tightening cage of reshaped star roads, the former Forerunner vessels are little more than a cloud of mosquitoes pouring through a deadfall of trees. Bitterness and the Examiner float beside me as our fleet transport carries us from the Greater Arc to the parking orbit of the Omega Halo. At such close range, in such limited time, Bitterness says. All she needs to say. The one Halo ready for action will never be able to mount a broad sweep before the Star Roads and their escort of infected ships have closed in and destroyed the Arc. Get us inside the hoop and land us anywhere, I say. Keep a direct link with Offensive Bias. We'll have to fire from its present angle. Send confirming signal to Audacity. The plan is underway. Be prepared. Life Shaper does not respond, Commander. Audacity says that the Ur-Didact ship has conducted an unauthorized intrusion. And used a composer. Bitterness's astonishment equals my own. The humans. They're gone. They've been composed. What would my original want with humans? Collecting them, composing them. Defying the most fervent wishes of the Life Shaper, it's beyond comprehension. My first instinct is to seek Mantle's approach and force it to return to the Ark, where the Ur-Didact will be destroyed, along with the rest of us, allowing only the Life Shaper to escape, the best of us all. But our transport would be powerless against Mantle's approach. My wife is safe, I ask. Audacity reports all are safe but experiencing distress. It is preparing to escape. Good, I say, though I cannot fathom the horror my wife faces, her life's work swallowed up before her eyes. We land on the Halo's inner surface, near the base of the control center. We enter swiftly. Bitterness and the Examiner follow. In the far wing of the control room, a fully holographic readout of all Halo systems assembles. I approach the symbols representing the nodes that will shape both spokes and the hub radiator. These are outlined in green and blue, fully functional and ready to be fired. It's out there, Bitterness says. Your monster, Mendicant Bias. Can't you feel it? My monster, indeed. No point offering a correction. Does it know what I plan? Does the Gravemind somehow know or remember what happened at Charim Hakor? Has the secret of the Lesser Ark been given up? All that is needed for me to depart to the Lesser Ark is its exact coordinates, but those are only known by the Master Builder, and he has granted me an audience before I leave. Faber is here, Examiner says, and points to a slender shadow entering the chamber. Finally, Bitterness says. The Master Builder steps through the displays, as before, a dramatic enough entrance, but performed without enthusiasm. He glances at us under the cowl of his helmet, then instructs his Ancilla to hand me the coordinates to the Lesser Ark. No prelude, no ceremony. That done, he faces me. You have all I have, Didact. I share responsibility with warrior servants. No longer will I bear this burden alone. And with that he primes the ring, making it clear why he asked me here. He wants me to see Omega Halo fire. Expenditures rise. Local vacuum energy for 1,000 kilometers around the ring is sucked down to a practical minimum. I watch the measurements closely. Another moment of desperate uncertainty. The star roads may have an effect on what we can pull from local spacetime, but they are not yet close enough. Omega Halo's reserves rise to maximum and are primed for instant release. Sequence input successful, Offensive Bias announces. Omega Halo is fully charged.
Will you escape with the Isodidact, Master Builder?
The Examiner asks.
No, that is my arc.
He pauses and moves his gloved finger as if to outline the huge installation's image.
And this is my halo.
We expect another grand gesture, an arrogant sweep of rhetoric. But Faber is in no mood to boast. His gaze is steady, downcast.
Throughout my life, I sought power and profit for myself, for my rate. Now, at long last, I think I understand the meaning of a crime against the mantle. After this, no need to seek balance. I will await my penance here.
We stand in silence before this uncharacteristic display of courage and humility. Examiner's expression remains doubtful.
We'll likely none of us study the domain long, he says.
The control room removes all but the necessary parts of our command display, then rotates slowly into position and becomes transparent to visible light. The Master Builder summons up the complex visage of Offensive Bias. The Metarch looms over us, a servant greater than its masters, more capable and, I hope, untainted. Soon, we will know. All depends on what we accomplish here, now. Builders and warrior servants, together.
We seek security in the domain and the example of the mantle,
the Master Builder chants.
We who are about to kill seek forgiveness. We treasure the truth of our error, that in future error will pass from us and from the lives of all who come after.
The Examiner looks at us with an expression of guilty glee. Warriors do love war. Warriors do hate what it brings.
The tension.
I turn away, for the first time in years, aware that my own bones are not so ancient, so deeply infused with warrior traditions. Once I came of builder stock, more like Faber than the Didact. Soon, there will be only one Didact. Artifacts within perimeter, Offensive Bias says. 1,000,000 kilometers.
Too damned close, Examiner says.
The strange and changing quality of space-time around the star roads is subtle, yet evident in a crawling itch in our nerves and brain. The spokes are forming, and Faber slowly adjusts the ring's angle, pulling its firing path. The Flood's forces regroup to respond to the changing halo angle. Star roads and ships attempt to move out of the beam's path. What we are attempting will only delay this assault, not protect us from the Flood's overwhelming force. The hub forms. An awful, painful glow rises along the spokes and gathers, spreading around the hub's circumference. From the opposite, unfinished inner surface of the wheel, reflections of this horrible luminosity return to us. All but blind bitterness look away. Even so, she gasps, for her ancilla must fully convey the nature of the power we are about to unleash, for only the third time in Forerunner history. Our minds reel at the sudden release of halo radiation. No neurological being, no biological system, can withstand for long proximity to such a discharge. The multidimensional radiated field stretches out, as designed, to path Kathona. Massless, subtle, deadly, it will cross that great distance in mere instants. Halo energy does not recognize space and time. Path Kathona is already dead. The nearest star roads in that beam twist, melt,
then crumble to fragments, and those fragments become nothing.
The infected ships within the beam's path wander under automated control, carrying only their dead, Forerunner, and I hope a few grave minds as well. "Did my wife manage to escape?" I ask. Although its own vessels are already beginning to engage the Flood, Offensive Bias's voice remains calm. "Two ships have departed the Ark. One of the ships reports itself. It is Audacity. The other ship is cloaked, unknown." I can only assume this is Mantle's approach. My wife has apparently escaped, and for that I feel an immense joy. But the survival of my original brings no joy, only a sharp, puzzled anger. He has violated the Mantle yet again, and then fled. In a time of immense peril, he has deserted us. No longer a Promethean. No longer a warrior servant. A traitor. Our own end is all too near. I must depart before it is too late. Medarc, prepare my vessel for passage. I will use the wake of Halo's firing to escape.
Your ship is on approach, Didact,
Offensive Bias says. Star roads outside the Halo field suddenly begin to move in, replacing those damaged or destroyed. They cut across our wheel. All around us, beneath us, the substance of the Omega Halo shivers as it is intersected and carved into pieces. On its approach, my vessel is tossed aside, crushed against the far wall of this ring. I'm now stranded. My fate is sealed. The spokes and hub flicker and die. The ring's high spanning curve violently bends and sheds huge squares like leaves from a windblown tree. Offensive Bias's vessels make their last sorties against the incoming attack ships but can do nothing to prevent our destruction. The pent-up kinetic energy of the Halo will finish the job. Already we can feel heat rising from beneath our feet. We have done what we can. My confusion must now end. There can only be one Didact, even should he be a traitor, even should he be mad. I feel thick layers of my imprint parting, letting through the youthful and naive foundations of Born Stellar makes eternal lasting. I pay honor to my mother and father, to all my builder ancestors going back millions of years, whose names I learned in my infancy and can recite from memory. My mantra barely has time to finish. My armor attempts to protect me against the heat, the motion, the disassembly of the chamber. I hear our Ancillas perform their own mantra and wonder if perhaps in the domain there is any distinction between machine and living being. They have served well, to the best of their ability. Catalog, beside me, sharing our fate. Hear my confession. The bottom of the control room falls from below us and the others pass from my sight. I can hear and see them no longer. I can't tell if they've survived. My hands grasp a narrow column, searching for purchase, but it finds none. And yet before I fall, I can see a flare of intense radiation, the drive of a ship coming closer, carving a bright gash in the chaos, sweeping in toward the control center's cracked and melting walls. As I slip through the cracks of a battered Halo, I hear a voice and recognize it immediately. Chakas. I rescued him once from the destruction of a Halo. Now he will rescue me.